make you do a double take. Plan shock, a showstopper, flow pop, a head knock, a beat shala, shell dropper. Hello and welcome to On the Rag. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Molly.
And we are the Sherman Sisters. On the Rag is a podcast where we usually read a gossip magazine from 20 years ago today and share all the coldest gossip from the era. My dumbass, however, indicated, in fact, stated as if it was
plainly.
Fact, plainly, that we had a magazine for every week in April, and reader, that's not true. I don't know what made me say that, but we didn't have one for this week. And so we decided, well, you know, that's okay. A little side quest is never a bad idea. We can put on hold all of whatever's going on with Britney and K-Fed for one week. So as my sister and I were running errands fruitlessly, I might add, on Sunday. And when I say running errands, I mean looking for clothes again.
No, honestly, we were like, nothing fits right.
Everything is made out of
the reason you'd be thinking.
Everything's made out of like bullshit, stretchy.
Look at my closet and I'm like, I don't recognize this. The whatever sad little sack of shit picked these clothes out.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I'm so uninspired by everything in my closet. And like the things that I have in my head, I think are very attainable. I'm like, I want some cute denim shorts. Mm-hmm. Usually Madewell's where you go for that. They're dropping the ball. And a cute couple of like white cotton feminine tank tops, you know, a little pointelle or a little eyelet, a little lace, but like nothing too, I don't want to look like a doily. I just want to look like a breezy, easy.
Yeah.
You know what the vibe is I'm always, always going for at the summertime is Tuck Everlasting.
Yeah.
So anyways, but I can't find those things anywhere.
No.
Anyways, while we were out experiencing trauma at the hands of American retail, we were discussing what should we watch this week, and my sister had a brilliant idea.
We watched the pilot of Desperate Housewives.
I actually watched the first two episodes.
You did?
And I'm halfway through the third.
I'm gonna join you on that after this. I just was sort of pressed for time.
Listener, those who have been following along may have experienced in the past that we've had a bit of an attitude about Desperate Housewives and the place that it occupied in the magazines.
You're so right.
We've been like, I'm not gonna read that. Flop.
You're so right.
And now I'm going to be a little more receptive, I feel.
The point you're almost making here is that perhaps we should engage with the media.
Yeah, of the era.
Of the era, rather than just what we remember.
Yeah, that's true.
We could make more of a concerted effort. You know what we could do, and that might save us a little bit of money, is just have a dedicated week a month.
Yeah.
Where we do a culture dive.
Yeah. I love
maybe,
that.
Maybe, I mean, I don't know, I guess we should really be doing that in addition to...
Well, I mean, you know, we're humans.
We can do these more frequently because honestly, y'all finding these magazines, I don't know how Lindsay does it.
It's actually not that bad, but, you know, sometimes there's just not one.
Right.
You know? And actually, some of these sellers, it's like, they're so quick to get the shipment out.
They're hungry.
And they're so courteous. Anyways, we'll talk about Desperate Housewives in just a moment, but first let me ask my sister, in the world is in that bag. What you got in that bag? What's in your bag this week?
Yeah, maybe a bit of an unexpected one for me, but I've been watching a lot of choreography on TikTok.
Yeah, you've sent me some.
Well, yes, there's I think it's Molly Long who does the pop music one that's becoming kind of viral, which I will say we bought earlier on pop music.
I love that damn song.
I love that song because it's very similar to Video Killed the Radio Star.
Yeah, I love.
I am putting that in my top five songs.
I almost said that earlier, and then I was like, am I misremembering how much I love that song?
No.
I love anything with a gesture to like 18th century Rococo culture. Literally anything at all. If you give me just a tiny touch of it.
I think there's some, like, there's like this kind of discordant female choir element in both of them that I really dig. Anyway, this girl who I've been watching on TikTok, her choreography, I'm really worried I'm not going to pronounce the last name correctly, but Lucy Vallely.
Is she the one that did the This Charming Man one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. That would be so fun.
What a cool girl.
Yes.
Wow. That girl can dance.
Yeah.
This is not an art form that I've really engaged with much.
Yeah.
I danced yeah. all the time as a kid just because of dance classes. But my heart was not really in that place.
We weren't, like, in competitive dance.
No, not at all. But it's, like,
which,
you know,
now the studio we went to growing up, which did not have that arm in it at all, now also has, like, a competitive wing.
Oh, I'm really glad that was, like, not a thing.
No, me too. God.
That really would have sucked.
Yeah.
No, there was no sense of competition
with
dance growing up. I just didn't super care about it.
Yeah.
But it's...
Oh, I loved it. I miss it all the time now.
Really?
Like, I think that's in my 10-year plan is I want to start going to adult ballet classes at Austin Ballet.
Huh. See, this might be one of those things where you, as the older kid, sort of informed the shape of what hobbies I would do.
Yeah.
I mean,
sorry, I chose such activities as ballet and the violin. Suzuki method, no less.
God bless our parents for, like, putting up with two beginner violin players in the house at the same time.
It's so bad. That's another thing I
would
have
been on
the roof
of the newsie.
Today, I was telling Parker I want to go back and take violin lessons again.
Yeah.
I think it's time for me to just start picking up all of my hobbies from eighth grade.
No, you should. I busted out the guitar last weekend to try to learn udalali with Clover, and I was like, oh man, it's really been a long time since I've like sat down and played guitar, and I still remember a lot of it.
I was gonna say, I think it's like playing or riding a bike.
A little bit.
I mean, you have to, like, practice a little bit to get back on your balance back, maybe, but you'll pick back up quicker than you think.
Well, I just used to do it after school, like, all the time.
Yeah.
With no real end, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, the next thing in my bag is tickets to Japan, baby.
Ah! I'm so excited for y'all.
I'm so jazzed, dude. We did a bunch of pivots. We were going to go to Greece somehow. We do this all the time. Like, in 2022, we were like, we're going to go to New England. Psych, we are going to Paris.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah. So, you know. We were going to do Greece, and then we said, how about Japan instead? We've been watching a lot of Travel Tube.
Man.
And we're both so stoked because it's like, and I know that I'm certain I could actually get by completely fine with English, whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, this is a brand new language for me to try to learn, like, survival phrases even.
Yes. In,
or, like, I wouldn't know how to recognize characters.
Right.
There's a lot of, I was telling Craig, like, the thing I'm most excited about is this is going to add a layer of friction to travel that I haven't experienced since I was a kid.
Totally.
Because Europe used to be dicey and you used to have to think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. But Parker was talking about the experience of being in Asia, like going to China. He was like, it feels like you are, like, the first couple of days, you're like, this is another planet. Like, they don't have the same, like, ways of doing things, you know, like,
yeah. I mean, and we could find that everything we've been told is wrong, but a few things that I've heard that are, like, gonna be an adjustment for me is, like, they don't want you to walk with food or drink.
I mean, like, hey,
yeah, so, like, walking with coffee is not really a thing. I don't think
that's crazy.
Huge part of my culture is to walk with an iced coffee,
right?
But whatever. Craig is super concerned. Maybe he's saying this for my benefit, but he's at least couching it as a concern about himself, about being too loud.
He's 100% saying that is, on your behalf.
He is, and that is so valid.
Maybe we'll have a moment of silence tomorrow night. That's the hardest I've laughed this year, I think.
When I go to Europe, I'm like, I don't give a shit if they learn that I'm American. Like, what will they do, Steve?
Right.
Like, and I think when I go over there, I'm like, it feels very, like, equals.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I really respect you guys. And obviously, you know I'm an American. I just want you to know that I'm going to try.
I'm a cool one. I'm doing the best I can.
Best tourist.
Uh-huh.
I will be trying my best to do the arigato kumasai. You know?
I was thinking that actually about Paris, though, because I was like, the way people talk about people in Paris, like, they're like, they're such bitches, they're so rude. I was like, that could not be more opposite from my experience. And I think maybe it's because I wanted to be the best tourist. Like, I was like, so polite, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm never going to be anything but polite on these trips. But I used to really, as a kid, like, I would be like, Dad, they're going to know you're American. And I remember him being like, let them.
Yeah, he's like, because you know what? I am American.
Right.
So.
And now I'm like, yeah, let them.
Yeah, exactly.
You can tell I'm American. Look at my gorgeous teeth.
Just like when I see German tourists, I know they're German before I've heard a
Ain't
word.
Gotta say a word.
Of their language.
Anyway, I'm jazzed as hell. We're going to be
there
in November.
Such a good time.
I still have not fully charted everything because I do want to do like a hot springs either day trip or like a night trip.
Oh my god, that'd be so fun.
I know, right? The last thing in my bag is a cumbia version of My Heart Will Go On.
Oh yeah.
It's available on youtube.com. yesterday my friends and I will do these like monthly dinners, and it was my friend Nicole's turn to plan it. She rented a donut boat, which has got like a big table in the middle.
Is it shaped like a donut? Okay.
Yeah, and it'll seat
up to 10
people.
Inner tube with like a motor on it?
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
And Emily drove it. I learned a new piece of lore. She gets seasick unless she's driving. They give her, yeah, they give her Zofran for that. Isn't that?
Damn.
I know.
That's really intense.
I know.
So she really gets seasick.
I was like, hey, as a person who's had a baby before, like, yeah, that's legit.
Zofran's
it's nothing
real
to play with. Yeah. it nothing works better.
Yeah.
But
I've
yeah.
not had occasion to use I have a little bit of it in my cabinet.
Oh, it's good to have.
Yeah.
I would say.
I feel comforted knowing it's there.
You should.
But.
Yeah. So yeah, we did a donut boat, and then Nicole realized after she booked it that it's the Titanic weekend.
Oh my god.
So she ordered this like boo-boo Amazon Rose DeWitt Bucator dress and hat. It was like 95 degrees.
So hot
direct
yesterday.
Direct sunlight. She did like a 6-course meal inspired by the Titanic menus.
Dude.
Which is hard to do and not really have disgusting things like lamb with mint jelly.
Nicole's commitment, A, to a theme, and B, to excellence in that theme,
I know.
Is really, so commendable.
It's so
rarely
inspiring.
See that.
I know. I was... The whole evening, I was like, wow, it's perfect.
Yeah,
you know?
You did this.
You really did do this. And, you know, she took some leaps.
Yeah.
Like, things that were, like, directly inspired by that menu that none of us would ever think to serve.
Yeah.
Asparagus salad being one of them.
Was it good?
It was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that you're going to say it was terrible, but
yeah,
you know.
No, it's great. No, it was all pretty good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's actually, honestly, so many cumbia versions of things on YouTube. I listen to, like, Aerosmith's Don't Want to Miss a Thing, and it kind of works.
I bet it does, dude. It works more often than you'd think.
Uh-huh.
I think it's because the people that choose to do it are like, I know this will cover well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
What's in your bag, Diva?
Oh, thanks for asking. First thing in my bag is a rewatch of the other two. We started it the other night again, and I probably have talked about this on this podcast before, but you guys... Go watch that show. It's so funny. Season 3 is like a little bit more serious than the other two seasons. Like they're kind of trying to like wrap up these characters' like emotional arcs, but they are still so silly about it. And the one we started with the other night was Carrie and Brooke go to an AIDS play, and it was supposed to be like Rent, but it was like not musical. And it was called 8 Gay Men with AIDS, A Poem in Many Hours. And so, like, when people go in on the first night, this lady is like, oh, how long is this play? And the ticket taker is like, why? And, like, so they end up having to go back, like, 3 or 4 nights in a row. But, like, they have this, like, Romeo and Juliet send up, too, where, like, Chase, their little brother, who just turned 18, like, falls in love with this extremely plain girl. But they, like, do the whole, like, what's the song?
Kissing You by,
It's like one name.
You gotta be.
Is it Desiree?
Okay. It was Desiree.
They like look at each other through the popcorn machine instead of the aquarium. It's just silly. And that girl's name is Pam Snot. Anyways.
I forgot
that it was
Pam
Snot. But he's like supposed to be engaged to Kiernan Shipka. Like, also, they like have such good meta commentary about like the industry as a whole, because the premise is that their little brother is like Justin Bieber viral famous in the first season.
The show is made for like Who Weekly listeners.
Exactly. The second season is about their mom becoming like a daytime TV juggernaut, mm-hmm. Molly Shannon, and she's iconic. And then in the third season, Chase, their brother, turns 18, and he has like this whole like, they're like, well, unfortunately, we are contractually obligated to launch his little rat phase.
Oh,
he's turning
right.
18, so he has to wear a little rat look. It's so funny. Anyways,
I'm trying to think of like who. Well, there's Carrie's whole thing is that he's like the super self-serious.
He wants
capital
to be,
G gay actor.
Yeah.
So he's like, I'm the first openly gay character in a Disney movie franchise.
Oh my
isn't
god!
It,
yes,
isn't it Phlegm? It's like a blog.
It's like a flubber show, movie. And it's like, that's the character. It's like, doesn't have a form.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's so funny.
They have they have him wear the skirt on the red carpet like Billy Porter.
Oh my God. Also, they have what is, to my mind, the only funny COVID joke I've ever heard, which is at the very end of season two, because the season aired in like 2022. So you're like, I don't know if this is picking up like right when we left them. Like, mm-hmm. is this still supposed to be 2020 or whatever? And Carrie is like so excited about making this movie called Night Nurse, and with Beanie Feldstein and Edie Falco. And he, his friend Curtis is like the host of this like online TV. It's called The Gay Minute. And he's like, Carrie was the host, and now his friend Curtis takes it over. But he's like, tomorrow, May 13th, 2020, is going to be the best day of Carrie Dubeck's life. It's like, and then they do have like a couple of references to like filming during COVID in the third season that are just like really funny. Like, people
did you have an amazing time filming? And he's sitting like flashbacks. 10 feet apart in a mask.
He's sitting down. Like, he's like, they're like, did you and Beanie Feldstein like really cut up a lot? And he was like, yeah, you could say that. Anyways, really such a silly program. I love it so much. Second thing in my bag is Karen Cushman books.
Girl, what?
These books over here.
Yeah, that's right.
So this is so weird. I had just been thinking, like, I wonder if Catherine Called Birdie is, like, right for my daughter at this age. Because I am concerned about her low intake of historical fiction and sort of morbid curiosity for her age. She's not meeting my metrics. She reads a lot of things that are set in the present day.
She should know new discoveries about the Titanic by now.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's a mother's job to educate. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I guess I should order that. And then I was on a walk with our dog, and the little free library that's just across the street from me had like three of this author's books. Catherine Called Birdie, The Midwife's Apprentice, which I also remember reading. Mm-hmm. And then one that I'd never seen called Alchemy and Maggie Swan, which I'll check that one out. But anyways, I was just really excited because I was like, that's so crazy. It's like I literally ordered it up. Mm-hmm. Delighted to watch that again. Read that again. But the Lena Dunham movie from a couple years ago with Andrew, what's his name? Hot priest. Andrew Scott. Yeah. It was very fun.
Yeah, I remember that, kind of.
Final thing in my bag is Restart Rita Ruby Rio, which is a Delta 9 seltzer, a different brand than the one that I previously mentioned that we got at Red Bud, what's the place called?
Ice House. Yeah.
Saturday was like comically beautiful outside, just like so pretty. And after Clover's nap, we all met and fed the ducks. And then the kids played at the park. And then y'all went to the Thinkery, and we went back home and changed Miko out of her swimsuit, because she had been in the splash pad. And then we all went to Red Bud for dinner, like a very early dinner.
It ruled.
And you and I each had two seltzers. So I got home and I was like, I feel awesome.
I was feeling fine.
Yeah.
It was came home, really pleasant vibes. Another gummy.
Yeah, so
watched
did I.
Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans.
So yeah, we just watched a bunch of the other two. But yeah,
that was a same. Better call.
Yeah, I bet it was. But that was a better flavored beverage than the other one.
We have got to remember that. And it's a better THC to CBD ratio.
Yeah.
It's a smaller can, so it's not a chore.
Yeah, the other one was
they need to ditch the other one. The only thing that's good about it is the art.
Yeah, it's unfortunately a very cute can. Mm-hmm. And it does the trick. Like, I feel good.
That's a Tom Rushing design.
Oh, I don't know. Could be. But anyways, let's talk about Desperate Housewives Doll.
Yeah. Well, I don't actually have a ton to say about it other than I was remiss. Uh-huh. I was derelict in my duty.
Same. We were saying fun. Before we started recording, I don't think this would have hit us in the right spot when we were the age that we were. Like 19 year old.
I was 13 and this is, let's be honest, a show about mom sex.
This is a woman's show. This is women's business.
I mean, they at least sold it as a very steamy show where there were always going to be like affairs and very steamy love scenes.
Yeah.
And that felt very Red Book magazine.
Red Book
not
so
my business. You know what I mean?
Red Book is so exactly the right reference there.
Yeah they were always
that was just never really our household's culture either. You know, we were magazine readers certainly, but it was
because that's
Yeah, we weren't doing Red Book or Cosmo. That was also too blue for us.
I was Teen Vogue.
Elle magazine was a huge one for me. We obviously got Us Weekly and People.
I was a Nylon girl.
Oh yeah, of course you were. Of course you were.
I loved Paste because I was boring.
Allure. I loved that magazine. And then also Domino was fun.
Oh, yeah. Domino was fun.
And I actually have two copies of every Martha Stewart Blueprint magazine. A very short run.
I forgot about that.
But I've got a set and a backup set, an air and a spare. I love that magazine.
I forgot you did that. That is whimsical.
I love magazines, man.
I've got to go chase down some copies of Anthology. I really did love that one.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Although I bet it, you know, it's a Shelter mag from 10 years ago. So it I kind of wonder have aged how well. It hit. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, this felt very in line with women that were sort of into Patrick Duffy, if that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. The Grey's Anatomy watcher.
Yeah. Oh, well,
Patrick Duffy. My bad. I was thinking of McDreamy. What's that actor's name? But they're similar vibes.
It's a mom and daughter.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so it slipped past me. My opinion of Eva Longoria remains unchanged.
Yeah, I still really struggle to see what she brings to the equation. Why is her boyfriend that she's having an affair with in this show literally a high school student? Yuck.
That is disgusting.
Foul.
I don't think I caught that.
Well, they mentioned something like he in the first episode, I think, asked if he can have a drag of her cigarette. And she's like, no, you're much too young for that. But I was like, I wasn't watching super closely. Maybe it was a joint. I don't know. Whatever. Of course, like, not that they're going to show someone smoking a joint on ABC in 2005 or whatever. But
real.
In the second or third episode, she, like, goes to his house. He lives, like, obviously at home with his mother. And he's like, my mom just stepped out for soccer practice. And she's like, ew. He's, like, in a teen boy room, you know? It's like really very gross. Yeah. Well,
do we have confirmation that he's in high school? Or yes. He's okay.
That's yeah. He mentioned really something about his. He's like, I got a B on my biology test, and you're like, ew, you're nasty. So that's
very,
pretty
like, Stacey's mom kind of culture at the time. Yeah. You know?
But yeah. That was another weird through line. That was a stick that was sort of hit with women. It was like, well, men love a sexy older woman. Being a cougar.
We tell ourselves stories in order to live. I think that is more an outlier than it is.
Yeah. But you remember cougar culture just sort of
I do remember
being
cougar
so
culture.
Ascendant. Well, they had Cougar Town as a show like a few years
Cougarton,
later.
Cougarton, right?
Cougarton, yes. Cougarville.
Yeah, no, it was absolutely a thing, which is funny. The novelty of it is funny that we were like, men and older women. Like, I think it's...
Well, of course, Demi and Ashton were also at this time.
Yeah. Yeah. If you look at the rags, it's pretty common. You remember Ryan Gosling and Sandra Bullock?
Yeah. That was a cute couple. Honestly. I mean, I like them both.
Ryan...
And they seem to be fun. But he was really young.
Who was the awful one? That's with Blake Lively now.
Oh, Ryan Reynolds. Nasty.
Ryan Reynolds was with Alanis Morissette. I think they were also a little bit different in age, were they not?
You know, I think I looked it up not long ago, and it wasn't as big as you think it was. It was a couple years, I think. She's 50, and he is...
I think
it's
just that she's got such a an older presence.
She's been 50 our whole lives, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's 48, so a two-year age gap.
Okay. Why do I always think it's, like, at least 7 years?
Because her energy is more grounded than his.
Well, and he was playing like Van Wilder at the time.
Nasty.
He's been a douche my whole life.
I agree. Yeah. I've never once seen it for that man. And I'm so glad people are starting to kind of put things together.
People are realizing shit.
Because I've known that man wasn't shit. I didn't have any data to back it up. But I knew it deep down in my bones.
Yeah.
So
you were right.
This is the first time I think I've ever seen Marsha Cross in anything at all.
I think same.
And she's very good.
Yeah, she is.
Felicity Huffman with all them damn kids.
Get off of her. Get a job. When she clocked him, when he was like, why don't we take a risk? I was like, I know that's right, girl.
Real.
And don't come home till you've been fixed.
She is left at home.
Why were they even having that discussion about her being on birth control or him using a condom? I'm like, he should have been fixed.
After the fourth one was a surprise. She says something about, like, he's got me pregnant 4 times in 3 years. Is that what she says? Or 3 times in 4 years?
I was something shocking. I think 4 times.
Because their boys are older than 3.
I don't know, man.
But anyways, her kids are a lot. They're a handful.
I think it was 3 times in 4 years, and I think there are twins.
Oh, okay.
I think.
Okay. Yeah.
We're going to get to the bottom of her.
Car safety culture at this time was so different because she had her baby's car seat in the front seat with her.
That was a thing?
And the three boys were not in booster seats or anything, just loose in the back seat and not even buckled. And she gets pulled over by a cop who's like, your kids are supposed to be buckled. And she's like, yeah, I know, man. They don't listen to me for shit. But like,
I was worn out for her.
Girl, I know. I was like, the fact that you're out and about doing things.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Blew my mind.
Oh, no, ma'am.
There's not like a single character that I'm like, I'm most like her. Like, I'm really not.
Which one did you say you got on the BuzzFeed quiz?
I got Eva Longoria.
Oh, wow.
Which I guess, no, I wouldn't really cheat on my husband, especially with a high schooler.
But you like the finer things.
I think it's the finer things. And also this is a highly scientific BuzzFeed quiz from 2018.
Of course, right.
If you ever, side note, have you ever accidentally landed on a listicle from BuzzFeed that was like 10 years old?
No.
Especially when they started doing like direct Instagram attribution.
Oh my God.
It's a page of broken images.
Of like 404s.
It's literally nothing. And they're like, looking hot, mood AF. And it's like nothing. It is the crazy. Oh my God. Spooky.
Honestly, I'm happy for those people who got while the gotten was good. The getting was good in those days. Mm-hmm. That was such an interesting culture.
I can't think of anything zerpier.
Yeah. Don't Abby and Alana go work at a place like that for... it's on some show they go to.
Yes. I think Alana does.
Yes.
Briefly.
Well, she works for Deals, Deals, Deals. But then there's also one of them goes to like a BuzzFeed office.
It's Girls.
On Girls. You're right.
Girls, yeah. Yeah. And you're right. It had to be one of them.
God.
Anyway, so Lindsay and I took a Which Desperate Housewife Are You quiz on BuzzFeed. I think I got her because I selected her house because it had the porch.
I wonder how much they weight the house. And then there were some questions where I was like, I'm taking a shot in the dark here. I don't know who my favorite side character is. I've only seen one of them.
Same.
You know?
Yeah.
But they had that lady who was the diner waitress she's been a diner waitress in every movie that's ever been made, but she seems to be a nosy neighbor that's going to be on later.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's her. Maybe not. But it's one of those like, oh, her. You know?
Yeah. I select Zelda Rubinstein.
Yeah, exactly.
Who did you get?
I got Terry Hatcher's character, Susan Mayer or Meyer.
I think she's like the cool, relatable one, right?
Yeah, I think I got that. I might have selected her house. I'm not sure because I don't know what their houses look like yet. But when I was asked about my style, I think I said casual and
same
comfy or whatever. And then, what did your friend say about you? Did you say fun loving?
Yeah.
So did I. Yeah, I don't know what else would have given me that. But anyways. I didn't realize that it started with a suicide and that this girl was going to be narrating the show.
I did know that.
Are they going to keep up this whole ruse for 8 seasons of like, we don't know what made her?
I don't think so, but I do think that she narrates for
the whole eight seasons.
Whole thing.
I wonder if there are other mysteries.
There are 8 seasons.
8 seasons, girl. Can you believe that? No, I know.
That's surprising.
I feel like that's the thing with like ABC shows is they go on way too long. I bet the first 3 seasons of this are good.
How many episodes are there a season? It's probably like a whole order.
180 episodes. I mean,
there are 180 episodes of this show.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I can commit to that.
I can't either.
I'm going to go until one season.
Yeah.
I'm not interested.
Exactly. Because I'm like, you know, but the thing is, too, I was thinking about this. Shows used to be made with like a degree of fluff to them because it wasn't that deep.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like I don't have to pay super close attention to know what's going on because this is like. This was made before we had like DVRs. I mean, some people had TiVos.
8 to 10 minutes of content between 4 minute commercial breaks.
So if you're like, oh, the commercial came on, let me go stir the stuff on the pot and, you know, get the wine out of the fridge and whatever. And like, oh, I come back like 2 minutes after the show came back. Well, I hope I didn't miss anything big.
Yeah, most TV is not made for people who sit down and theorize. It's
Yeah.
You know, it's where your Chuck Lorre's come in.
Yeah. Like, sometimes I get really bummed because it's like, man, we only get 8 episodes of White Lotus. Like, God. But then it's like...
But I'm locked in on those.
So good.
Yeah.
Like, there's not a wasted minute. It's like...
Whereas, like, there's... Netflix does any number of these kind of shows. They're all sort of meant for, like, one eye.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
A very occasional eye on the TV.
That's so true. Like, Parker told me Drew Tarver's in a new one. Or not new. It's, like, I guess a year old. But Ike Barinholtz directed it. And it's got Kate Hudson, Running Point.
I started watching it.
Is it good?
No.
Okay. I didn't think so.
I'm sorry to say.
Yeah, no. He was like, this might be a fun thing for us to watch because I'm like, we love Drew Tarver, but
No, it's not very good.
You know, Ike Barinholtz is another person about whom I've recently had to eat my words because, again, due to no fault of his own, he's a beady-eyed individual. Mm-hmm. And I guess something about that's always struck me is I'm like...
He's really not attractive to me at all.
No, and he's been the romantic lead in a few things, like Stepsisters, right? Wasn't he Sisters. Wasn't he one of the romantic leads in that?
Perhaps.
Like, he's been presented as like... Oh, he's kind of cute. And I'm like, we didn't agree on that.
No.
But we were watching The Studio the other night, and he's like the second lead, I would say. The second, you know, main character. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I really don't know anything about his personal life. Seems like a lovely guy. Been married to the same woman for like 23 years. They have 3 daughters. Oh, okay. My bad, Ike Barinholtz. You seem like a nice guy.
I know.
Sorry.
Yeah, he must be tight with Rogan too, because like they've been in a lot of stuff together.
Yeah,
like they did Neighbors together.
Yeah, and I think they have been friends for a long time.
I think he was also in was he in that show with Rose Byrne? What's it called?
Platonic.
Yeah.
Wait, Ike Barinholtz was in it?
He's got to have like a small role in it, doesn't he?
I don't remember, but that was such a good show.
That is a good show.
Man, okay, we were just actually shitting on Canada before we started recording, but I also forget that Seth Rogen is Canadian.
Yeah, I don't. He's very Canadian. But in like in a charming way, but...
Yeah, compliment. The best bits of a Canadian.
They're not all bad.
No, I just, you know, sometimes it's like when you find out someone's Canadian, you're like, oh, man.
He's Canadian in the he's been smoking pot since, like, middle school kind of a way.
Right.
You know what I mean?
In a, like, he was able to have...
not going to make it a big deal.
A carefree enough childhood.
Yeah.
Because, like, the headwinds where he grew up weren't so... aggro.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's pretty laid back.
Yeah. Although like. Apparently, according to his Wikipedia, when he got cast in Freaks and Geeks, he became the family breadwinner at like age 16.
Wow.
So he started supporting his entire family when he was 16 years old. They all moved to Canada or to California for him. And then also him and his writing partner, Evan Goldberg, have been like they met in bar mitzvah class.
That's cute.
And they like started talking about the premise for what was the movie McLovin.
Superbad.
They like sketched that out when they were 14, 15 years old.
That's impressive.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Very
that's
funny.
A fun movie.
I know.
Anyway, I don't have a ton to say about Desperate Housewives. Stay tuned. I might over the next few weeks as I continue to watch it.
I did just see that it surpassed Charmed as the TV show with the most episodes, the hour-long TV show with female leads with the most episodes.
Boy, a coveted title.
I know. This is something that we all watch. It's a like horse race.
Leah Remini has a few like stats about King of Queens in her book too. Where
bless.
She's like, it was the longest running show or the 8th longest running show
it's
in
like,
network TV history of the 2000s.
It's like Michelle Visage and like we were on the Bodyguard soundtrack. It's like,
yes.
Okay.
And you know what? She only very briefly mentions Michelle Visage, and she does not tell you how they meet, and it really does bother me.
I mean,
so I'd like to know more.
Those two meet. They've known each other.
In every lifetime.
In every lifetime.
You see two pigeons cooing together on a branch.
That's Michelle Visage and Leah Remini. They have been friends since time immemorial.
Uh-huh.
Before the sands of time were ground from the stone of time.
It's true.
Anyway. Twin flames. Yeah. Anyway, great show, Desperate Housewives. I really don't have much to say about it. I guess basically, you know.
Join us next week.
We'll maybe have a magazine or maybe we'll watch some TV.
We'll
I don't know.
See.
Bye.
Bye.